Good morning, everyone. Let's try it one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to call to order the special meeting of BATA for Wednesday, August 22nd, 2012. I actually don't have it listed, but why don't we rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, may we have a roll call, please?
Good morning, Commissioners. Commission BATA Chair TCA.
Here.
Vice Chair Rainworth.
Here.
Commissioner Asombrado. Commissioner Bates. Commissioner Campos.
Present.
Commissioner Cortese. Commissioner Dodd. Commissioner Giacopini.
Here.
Commissioner Glover.
Here.
Commissioner Green.
Here.
Commissioner Haggerty.
Here.
Commissioner Halstead. Commissioner Kinsey.
Here.
Commissioner Licardo. Commissioner McKenzie. Commissioner Mullen.
Present.
Commissioner Sartipi. Commissioner Spearing.
Present.
Commissioner Winner.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Great. Thank you very much, Rosie. We're going to move to item number two, which is participation in State Attorney General's settlement fund related to J.P. Morgan Chase and Company. Steve, are you leading the charge, or is Brian... Is Adrian leading the charge? Am I leading the charge? Go ahead, Adrian.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. You have before you the option to participate in a settlement that was negotiated by 25 state attorneys general with J.P. Morgan. It's an out-of-court settlement. And it's for what's defined as relevant conduct, which is anti-competitive conduct or unfair trade practices relating to derivatives. Primarily, it's guaranteed investment contracts, but swaps are also involved. And the reason why BATA has the opportunity to participate in the settlement is that BATA entered into two swaps during the time period that's covered by the Attorney General's settlement. Now, if BATA decides to participate in the settlement, we'll need to sign a release, which will give up our rights to sue J.P. Morgan Chase for certain claims for damages against J.P. Morgan Chase in class actions that are pending right now in the Southern District of New York, broadly known as the NRA Municipal Derivatives Antitrust Litigation, and also give up any claims that have been or could be asserted in that action or any related actions filed in or transferred to the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York and that are coordinated with or consolidated into that docket. The memo that we sent out to you, I think, does a pretty good job of summarizing what's going on in this case, but I can add a few other pieces of information if that would be helpful. These multi-state settlements are part of a coordinated national investigation involving state attorneys general and numerous federal agencies, including the SEC, IRS, and the U.S. Department of Justice. According to the continuing national investigation, a number of banks, brokers, and financial services firms manipulated the bidding process, usually for guaranteed investment contracts, which are not at issue for BATA, but were still covered because of our swaps, and shared information causing the victims to pay, victims being the municipalities who entered into these guaranteed investment contracts and swaps, to pay higher fees and receive lower interest rates in return. The investigation revealed collusive and deceptive conduct involving certain individuals at J.P. Morgan Chase and other financial institutions, certain brokers with whom they had working relationships. The wrongful conduct took the form of bid rigging, submission of non-competitive courtesy bids, and submission of fraudulent certifications of compliance to government agencies, among others, in contravention of the United States Treasury regulations. There's also language contained within the settlement agreement between the Attorney General's and J.P. Morgan Chase, which describes it in more detail. I'm happy to read it to you if you'd like to know about it later if you have questions, but I won't do so now. You know, our amount is a little bit more than $600,000. There are many, many entities who are eligible to participate in the amount. The amount was determined by a formula that the Attorney Generals came up with the assistance of an outside economic expert. If BATA accepts the settlement, as noted in the memo, we would give up our rights to participate in the In Re Municipal Derivatives litigation, and we would also give up a right to sue independently for these types of causes of action. I have here today with me Eric Fastiff, an attorney at Leaf Cabraser, Hyman & Bernstein, who is one of the lead attorneys representing the California class that is subsumed in the large In Re Municipal Derivatives class action lawsuit. And he's available to answer any questions you might have about that lawsuit.
Okay, so that's I would like to ask one question. If we didn't settle here and we thought we wanted to go and be part of any future lawsuit or the other lawsuit that's going forward with the other firm, what is the likelihood we'd get anything near what this settlement is?
We don't believe the likelihood is high. I mean, it's an educated guess. Eric Fastiff can speak more accurately to that in regard to the other class action lawsuit, where the amount of money available to distribute to the class is less than the amount of money we have here. It's $44 million. Here we have $65.5 million. And in that other lawsuit, that $44 million has to be also used to pay attorney's fees. So not only does it go to the class, but it goes to attorney's fees and other costs. Here in our case, the $65.5 million only goes to the municipal entities who are eligible to participate. There's no attorney's fees or other costs coming off of it. So it's likely that if we've passed on this settlement and we wanted to participate in the other, that we would wind up with less. That class is a very large class, and so it is likely that that would happen.
Okay, thank you. I wonder if maybe you could, you know, step to the podium or step to up there and just maybe give us your take on that.
Absolutely. Good morning. My law firm represents the City of Oakland, Alameda County, County of Fresno, City of Fresno, and the East Bay Delta Housing Authority. And we have a pending class claim on behalf of California municipalities. There is, as Ms. Wheel said, a pending federal national class on behalf of all municipalities in the country that issued tax-free debt and then purchased, whether a GIC or a swap or an option. The California class is essentially subsumed in the national class. The attorneys general settled their own cases, and as what's before you today, to some extent, the release guts the national class and the California class as well. The national class settled with Morgan Stanley for about $6 million, with Wells Fargo for $37 million, and with J.P. Morgan for $44 million and change. There is no plan of distribution of that money at this time. The J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo settlements are not final, and they won't be final until December if approved by the court. And as Ms. Wheel said, there'll be attorney's fees taken out of those as well. Here, you have a much larger settlement with just J.P. Morgan, and that's really what you're considering today. The release that you would be agreeing to simply means that you can't sue J.P. Morgan or probably participate in the national class settlement with J.P. Morgan. The defendants, under the antitrust laws, are jointly and severally liable. And if there are further settlements in the class case or if you bring independent litigation, you are still eligible to sue them or participate in another settlement, in other settlements with the other defendants.
Thank you. Let me just see if there's any questions. Yes, Commissioner Green.
Just one quick one on.
I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Oh. Under the possibility of us suing JPMC on our own, it says, and at considerable expense. Just give me a ballparking estimation as to what that would be.
To litigate independently against J.P. Morgan. For example, if you were to retain my firm, we would file a complaint in probably the Northern District of California. It would be transferred to the Southern District of New York, which is the federal court in Manhattan, where the cases are consolidated for pretrial purposes. There is extensive discovery that's required in terms of document review, listening to thousands of hours of tapes of the traders, analysis of the bidding practices, and hiring of economists to analyze the harm that was caused to the authority based upon the bid rigging. So it's a very time-intensive in terms of legal time and very expensive in terms of out-of-pocket costs for experts and just general hard costs and, of litigation, paper and
looking at just an approximation number.
I can tell you that the $600,000 settlement wouldn't come close to the costs it would take.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation, and we certainly appreciate the work of the Attorney General. What is the value of the claims that we would be releasing? I know we're getting $600,000, but what do we believe would be the estimate of the liability if we were to sue J.P. Morgan on our own?
We really don't know until we would go through discovery. But as I understand from Mr. Rich and Mr. Mayhew, the swaps that we entered into that are covered by the settlement were negotiated. So they were not. There was no bidding or bid rigging on our swaps.
I guess as we're being asked to release J.P. Morgan, I'm trying to understand what exactly is it that we're giving up.
Commissioner, there are basically three options before you. The first is to accept this settlement, which is just money falling out of the sky, and we didn't have to spend a dollar to get it. The second is to join this class, where I think the math would suggest that we're likely to get less. And the third is to try to sue J.P. Morgan ourselves. I think you've heard from outside counsel that would involve considerable expenditure of funds, and both Brian and Bob suggest that the nature of how we did our swaps was significantly different from the bidding environment of these other cases. So it's conceivable, if not likely, that we may not have a very good case against J.P. Morgan anyway.
Okay.
So that's why we're recommending the course of action that's before you today, which is to accept the settlement that's been negotiated by the attorneys general. I think it's worth mentioning because I know it's on your mind, and Brian gave you a briefing about this at our last meeting, that the LIBOR scandal in London is probably going to be dealt with in a similar fashion. There are already a couple of attorney generals that are subpoenaing banks and doing all that stuff. And we believe the model that's being laid out here, where essentially taxpayer-supported lawyers are doing most of the work, and then you will be presented and other municipalities will be presented with potential settlements, is probably a pretty efficient use of public resources. Instead of everybody hiring a ton of lawyers and going after the same set of culprits.
And I completely agree that this is the best way to approach these kinds of matters. In terms of the LIBOR matter, do you have a sense of the timing of when that could be resolved?
Well, maybe I'll ask Adrian to just describe the timeline on this, but the LIBOR investigations are just getting underway. So I would expect, especially given what you've heard from outside counsel, that we are many, many months, if not years, away from a settlement. But I think the notion that the work will be done by our Attorney General and others around the United States, as I said earlier, I think represents a pretty efficient model of recovering whatever might be due to us. As you know, the LIBOR situation is more complicated because there are arguably quite a few entities who benefited from the alleged manipulation because it lowered their rates they were paying. In our case, it probably worsened our situation, but for exactly how much and for how long is going to be the subject of a lot of that discovery you just heard about.
Okay. And just a final question. I know some of my colleagues, are we okay with the calculation, the way that we arrived at the $600,000?
Well, it appears to be reasonable. I mean, it was determined by 25 state attorneys general, and it was, you know, done with an economic expert. I would have to defer to that.
Thank you.
Yep, Madam Chair, thank you. So my question is, I think this obviously makes a lot of sense for us to go for the settlement. I'm just wondering, if we decide to make that go that route, does it mean that we'll get this money for sure, or is it probable, or is it contingent upon other acts of other municipalities and other governmental agencies before we see any of the money?
My understanding is if we sign the release and the intent to participate, we will receive the money. I'm not exactly sure about the timing is on that.
Okay. But in other words, it's not contingent upon some other entities joining in and getting our class together.
Nothing like that appeared in any of the papers that we received.
Okay.
I also want to add that yesterday we received an email from the claims administrator who's administering how this money is being distributed. And in that email, which was sent to Brian Mayhew, the claims administrator said, we're extending the deadline from August 23rd to October 8th, I believe is what the email said. But anyway, we had noticed this meeting for today, you know, and until yesterday, we thought the deadline was tomorrow, the 23rd, so that's why we're proceeding.
I just want to say, I think we really do owe the Attorney General of California a vote of confidence for moving forward on this and actually reaching the settlement on our behalf, because I think it's given the circumstances that the banks and what they've done to us and how they manipulated the system, it's good to see that we are able to strike back a little bit and get some of our money back from the outrageous profits that they receive from these transactions.
Steve, can you explain that last paragraph in your recommendations where, you know, it just seems like a one-year period? I mean, that just – why wasn't it – or was this a typo? What did you mean 100 years?
No, Commissioner.
All kidding aside, I think you're condoning this misbehavior on that type of recommendation. So maybe you can give some background.
Yeah, and I do want to make clear that that last paragraph is not a recommendation we're making to you. We're informing you that we've taken that action. And I believe the action is appropriate. First of all, I didn't think it made a lot of sense for us to be accepting a settlement and then turning around and giving it back to J.P. Morgan in fees. And the fees they could earn over that one-year period are considerably in excess of this settlement. I also want to make clear, secondly, that the individuals that we deal with on a daily basis from J.P. Morgan, their municipal desk, and their bankers have acted, in my opinion, only honorably with us. The misbehavior here is by the traitors that work for that firm. And so our intent in imposing this additional penalty was to send a message to that firm that they ought to clean that up. And that while we enjoy the relationship we have with their municipal bankers, we hired the firm, and we expect the firm to act honorably. And in this case, the firm did not. So we believe the penalty here is proportionate, and it's subject to reassessment by Brian as well as we go forward. You know, Brian manages a pool of bankers, and I think he exercises good judgment in who he calls upon to help us from time to time. And, you know, this isn't necessarily the first instance where Brian has been displeased by something a bank has done and essentially has said, well, maybe your turn is going to be a little bit later, and we'll bring somebody else in. So we do have other bankers in the pool that can help us with the duties that J.P. Morgan would have performed. But I do believe, in short, Commissioner, that a year suspension is proportionate to the allegations that are shown here in this case.
Thank you. Well, you know, I just think this is another opportunity to acknowledge what a sad state of affairs that brings us here today. So I'm not going to leave my opportunity to point that out once again. You know, I think of this as a mop-up event caused by the gluttonous selfishness and the reckless abuse of this entire industry. So, you know, we have J.P. Morgan today, but we could pick any of a number of others whose behavior really came at the expense of the entire American public and almost took down global capitalism with it. It's a serious transgression against the values of our country and really even the morality that's associated with it. So, you know, my view is MTC will never come out ahead on this, and that we should take this. I'm going to be supportive of it, but it makes no sense to me, Steve, to think of this as, you know, putting them in the penalty box for a year. I know that you have to deal with people, and always we deal with honorable people in that one-on-one relationship, but that's part of the trouble with the corporate veil, is that, you know, the decisions that get made throughout an organization, no one takes personal accountability for. So I'm going to pay close attention to what Brian does over the period of time, and I would be deeply disappointed if we continue to reward folks who clearly have taken their own self-interest at the expense of the larger American public. So that's where I stand. Thank you.
Anyone from the public wishes to speak? I do not have any speaker cards. Okay. Any other comments from the commissioners? If not, what is the pleasure of the commission?
Move the staff recommendation.
Madam Chair.
We have a motion and a second on the staff recommendation. Do we need a roll call, or can we do a voice? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the staff recommendation stands. And our last point of business is public comment. Again, I see none, so we will adjourn this meeting. Our next meeting is September 26th at 9:30. Thank you very much.